about life. This series is designed to help you wrestle with your own questions about faith, especially as your faith relates to your life and the world around you. But it also, hopefully this series and today, will help you to have conversations with other people. You know, one of the parts of our vision as a church, which you can see on the wall now, is about bringing light. How do we bring the light of Jesus? And when you're in conversations, especially when we're talking about life, which we'll get into in a minute, has been a fairly hot topic for a long time in our society. How can you bring light in that conversation? How can you represent Jesus in that conversation? So hopefully as we wrestle with these things, you'll also come away with some tools and some better ways to bring your faith into conversations with the people around you. As a church, we practice the Churches of Christ saying from a couple of hundred years ago that in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, freedom, but in all things, love. And what you're probably not going to get in this series is nice, neat answers to these broad and complicated topics. But what you will get is some input and some thoughts and some things that will shape your thinking and your conversations with other people as well. As we go through this series today as well, you are invited to ask your questions by SMS. What we're not going to do in this series is have a go at answering them live on a Sunday, but we are each week, Tuesday or Wednesday, going to record a midweek podcast responding to all of your questions on these topics. So today, for example, as we get into talking about life and death issues, if you have any questions about that, maybe it's a theological question from something else you understand in the Bible, maybe it's practical scenario question. What about this kind of scenario? Fire those through anytime during the service or in the next couple of days. That phone number will stay the same for the whole series, and ask your questions and we'll respond to them. We'll record it. We'll put it up on our website and it all comes out like our other podcasts through iTunes and Stitcher as well as being on our website. So go ahead and do that as we go through this series and go through this morning. So today, what about life? Suicide, which is somebody ending their life in some way. Euthanasia, which is somebody having medical assistance to end their life in some way. And abortion. What about these issues of life or of life and death? What does God think about these things? How should we as his people, if we have accepted Jesus and we're following him, how should we think about these things? How should we act in these things and respond? And the first thing I want to say is that all of these topics, all of these things about life are complex and personal issues. You know, the idea of suicide is not just a theological question. And the idea of abortion is not just a biological question. These are very, very deep and complex things, and they affect each of us personally in all sorts of different ways. And so we're going to talk about it with that in mind. The second thing is that when we get to the part in this message today, and we'll go there a couple of times, in how we should respond, we are not talking about the past. We're talking about today, and we're talking about the future. So for you, at any point in your life, if you have had an abortion, if you have contemplated suicide or euthanasia, my intention, and I don't believe it's God's intention either, is to make you feel guilty about those things in the past. We're not talking about the past. We're talking about today, and we're talking about the future. Above all, God is a God of love and of forgiveness. He has values. He guides our lives. But no matter what has happened in your life, no matter what you have done or what has been done to you, God loves you and God offers his forgiveness for you. So let's pray for a moment and then we're going to keep going. So Father, we just want to commit our time to you this morning. Lord, I'm aware as I speak that every single mind and every single heart is going off on different rabbit trails on this topic, and some of it is going to be painful. And so, Lord, I just ask that we would know your comfort and know your spirit with us this morning, that you would help us to think about and understand these things as you see them. In Jesus' name. When you think about God and life, possibly one of the first images that comes to mind is something that you've seen on the news. An abortion clinic somewhere in the Western world, probably likely America, and Christians outside of it with big placards, big signs, verbally abusing and physically intimidating women going in and out of that clinic. Where do people get that idea from? Where do those people who believe that they're doing that for God, where do they get that idea from, that God wants them to do that outside of an abortion clinic? You know, it happens much better than that. There are people who would go outside an abortion clinic and represent God in much more graceful ways. But where do they get this idea from? Let's start in the Old Testament, and we're going to have a look at a few passages just to start to build this idea of God's view of life. So right at the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 2 in verse 7, talking about how God created human beings, it says, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." Right from the beginning, we understand that God created human life, that God created us, human beings, in his image, like him, and he breathed life into us. God made us, he gave us life, and he values us. And so human life is precious, because that's how God made it, and that's how God sees it. And then, not much later in human history, God began to reveal himself more and more to people. And he gave the group of people that we call the Israelites the Ten Commandments. This was their best way to live. This is how God wanted them to live their life. But also, it's helpful for us because these values are for all of humanity. And so God said in Exodus 20 verse 13, speaking through Moses, to Moses and then through Moses, he said, "You must not murder. Because life is precious. God created us, he gave us life, and he values us, so life is precious." And then in Psalm 139, as David, a poet, tries to put words to God's value on life, wrote this: "God, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." God is intimately involved with our lives. Before you were even thought of by another human being, long before you were born, even before you were conceived, God knew you. And he is intimately involved with your physical life now that you're alive in this world. And every moment of our lives is of interest to God, is known to him, and is of value to him. Even the last moments, sometimes years of pain, of confusion, even just of sleep, God is intimately involved with our lives. Now, there were times in the Old Testament where God commanded death. And you can find those in the Old Testament. And unfortunately, we don't have the time to delve into that today. But we did explore that in the series last year, talking about how God is portrayed in the Old Testament and how Jesus portrays God in the New, and especially when there's things like killing. So you can have a look at that later if you'd like to. But it's true to say, as we looked at these passages just in the Old Testament, that God is a God of life, that God is for life. And that may not always be in the way that the pro-life movement has portrayed him. It may not always be in the way that the church has portrayed suicide as an unforgivable sin. And it may not always be in the way that people will lobby against euthanasia. But God is a God of life. He created life. He gave us life. And he wants us to value our own lives and the lives of each person as well. Inside the womb, outside the womb, children, young adults, seniors, the disabled, the incapacitated. God is for life. And we find the same thing when we come to the New Testament, the words of Jesus and the writing of the apostles as they made sense of it all. Jesus said, and this was our verse a couple of weeks ago on Mission Sunday, Jesus said, "The thief has come to steal and kill and destroy," John 10:10. "But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd," he said. "The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." Not only does Jesus affirm God the Father's value for life, but he goes further. Not just life for the sake of it, but God's heart, God's intention is that we would have a rich and satisfying life. Even though sin, even though the fallen world, even though the thief, the devil, would work towards our life being stolen or our life being killed or destroyed, Jesus died so that we could have life, a rich and satisfying life. Jesus was willing that his life would be stolen, killed, and destroyed so that ultimately ours wouldn't have to. And built into this idea of a rich and satisfying life is life now in this world, but also life in heaven. Life in the Bible is a holistic idea, a holistic concept. Life in abundance, life to the full. Now, and to the fullest in new life after we die. And this is an interesting thing about God and life, is how do we make sense of the now but the not yet part of a rich and satisfying life? So we have life now, and Jesus came that we would have a rich and satisfying life now, but we know that in the life to come in heaven, that life will be perfect, will be completely full, completely rich, completely satisfying. So how do we make sense of life that is difficult and painful now, but is going to be incredible then? And thankfully, we don't just have to rely on our own thinking about this. This is where some of those early followers of Jesus really wrestled with this stuff. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to read all the first 10 verses as the Apostle Paul talks about this. He says, "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body." So he calls our earthly bodies a tent. He says, "When that tent is taken down, when we die, we'll have a house in heaven." And he doesn't mean a house. He means an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. This body is a tent. But compared to the tent, there's a house coming, a new body made by God. We grow weary in our present bodies and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on our heavenly bodies. We won't be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. So we groan and we sigh, but Paul says not for despair, we groan and sigh for hope, knowing how good it's going to be when it comes. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he's given us his Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. But we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we'll be at home with the Lord. So whether we're here in this body or eventually we're away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we've done in this earthly body. Paul begins to give some language to this struggle and this wrestle. We're going to talk about suicide and euthanasia in a moment, and it's my understanding that this is not ever a simple thing. It's not ever a simple matter of just deciding to end your life. It's not ever just a simple selfishness that you don't care about what other people think. It is a deep, painful, often tormented wrestle within you about your life. And Paul, who wrote those words we just read, understood that and began to explain it for us. But the wrestle is not just, this is horrible, this is horrible, this is horrible. The wrestle is in the hope of what is coming. But still, he says, our attitude should be that even though we groan and sigh now, and even though we know that something way better is coming, our goal is to please God now in this life and then also in the life to come. Our fallen world all around us and sickness is involved as we experience physical sickness or mental health struggles. The thief, the devil, oppresses us, torments us, and makes this a spiritual battle as well. The battle of life and death is a spiritual battle as the thief works to rob you of the value of your life, to make you think that your life is less valuable. And then when we talk about euthanasia, the other thing that complicates it for us today is how far science and medicine has come. We're going to talk about science specifically in 2 weeks' time. What about science? But there are so many benefits to that, but we need God's wisdom even more as our life is extended much further. And as we experience often, compared to our grandparents, our great-great-great-grandparents, we experience a much longer life and so much more pain, physically or emotionally. We need God's wisdom and we need his hope even more as our lives get longer. So before we talk about you, if you're struggling with suicide this morning, I want to talk about you if you have been impacted by the decisions or the actions of other people with suicide and euthanasia. And this could be a friend or a family member. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. God knows your pain. When you've been impacted by the suicide of another person, God knows and he understands and he feels your pain. And he is your comforter when you need comfort in that situation. The other thing I want to say is that when someone chooses to take their own life, that is not an unforgivable sin. And I don't really know where this came from. I know the global church has taught this in the past, and it's probably something that you may have thought of as well. But what happens to someone with their salvation? What happens in terms of heaven when somebody commits suicide? The only unforgivable sin, the only way that you could miss out on salvation, miss out on heaven, is if you reject Jesus. It's the only way. We've talked about this heaps and heaps of times over the last few years with everything that we talk about. The only way that you could miss out on heaven and commit a sin that God cannot forgive is if you reject his son Jesus and what Jesus has done. That's the passing grade. Suicide doesn't affect your accepting or your not accepting of Jesus. You don't get into heaven by living out your physical life until you die of natural causes any more than you would miss out on heaven by ending your life early. Sin can't be avoided by living any particular right way. Sin can only be avoided by accepting Jesus. So God's grace covers us and covers our sin only if we've accepted Jesus. And when we've done that, no matter what other mistakes or wrong choices we might make, if we've clung to Jesus, that's what God looks at. It says in Romans 8:38, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life. Nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. So nothing can ever separate a person from God's love in Jesus and God's acceptance of them, apart from if they choose to reject Jesus. And that would include someone who chooses to end their life early. If they have Jesus, in terms of heaven and salvation, they still have everything. So now let's talk about you and your struggle today. God is for life. And so it is not God's desire or God's will that you would ever take your own life or end your life by your choice. God values life, and he values your life, and one life is not more important than the other because of circumstances. So your life is not less important if you have overwhelming struggles and difficulty. God values you, and he values your life, and he has so much more that he wants to do in you and that he wants to do through you in your life. So when the thoughts and the temptations and the torments come, my prayer for you is that God's words and God's thoughts about you would be so much louder. That he loves you and he has incredible purpose for your life. That the thief comes, that your life would be stolen and killed and destroyed. And that may be something that you've thought about giving into. But Jesus came that you would have a rich and a satisfying life. And that is his purpose for you, and he has that for you, no matter how bad it is. He understands your struggle. He is with you in it. Remember, if you have heard the story of Easter, Jesus in the garden the night before he died, in so much anguish and under so much stress, sweating blood, which is a medical condition, sweating blood and crying out to God, he gets it. He understands. I'm going to talk about this a bit more in 3 weeks' time when we answer the question or respond to the question, what about suffering? The other thing is, you know, we have hope because God can redeem our suffering and our pain. You know, if you go to the Animal Welfare League, go to the pound where dogs and cats are locked up, and you see one that is really suffered and really suffering, they don't just let you have that for free, do they? Actually, got to pay money to take that dog or that cat, preferably a dog, they're God's favorites. Just kidding, Hannah. You have to pay money to redeem, to buy that animal and look after it. God does that with our pain and our suffering. He buys it back, he redeems it, and he turns it into something good. Let me read another passage to you from 2 Corinthians. You know, I had no idea 2 Corinthians was so good until this week as I prepared. Paul says again, talking about life and death now in chapter 4, that's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small, relatively small, and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now, the things we feel now, will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. That is why we never give up, he says. And so to quote him again from chapter 5, the next chapter, Paul says, so whether we're here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. Because when we've committed our life to Jesus, we submit our life to him. We submit our decisions, our will, even our feelings to him, and our desire, our goal is to please him with our life. From today and to keep going. God has so much more for you. If you will submit to him and keep leaning on him, he has so much more for you. His desire is that you would have a rich and a satisfying life. So keep on going. If that's all you take away from today, take away that hope that God has more for you in this life and he's with you in this life. So keep going. We're going to come back at the end and talk a little bit more about if this is you today and you're really struggling, a couple of things that you can do that will help. But let me talk now about how this shapes our conversations. So you may not be struggling today. You may not know anyone who has committed suicide or has undertaken euthanasia. But people taking their own lives is a huge problem in our world, as Chris shared before. It's a huge problem in Cairns. Especially male suicide in Australia is at all-time highs. But as God's people, as the church, we should be known for what we are for, not for what we are against. So we don't judge people who consider or even who commit suicide. When someone takes their own life, really, that's the wrong language. Their life has been stolen by the thief. Our battle is against him. And so we have grace and we have compassion. And we are proactive for a rich and satisfying life. So we love counseling. We love community. We love groups. We love men's sheds. We love mateship and friendship and craft groups. And we love speaking up about mental illness and removing the stigma and the silence from it without putting people down. We are for life. We are for hope in Jesus. And so as your conversations with friends and family come around to suicide and euthanasia at a concept level or even at a personal level for people, you can share your faith and your convictions about being for life without being judgmental or condemning of people that consider or make those decisions. You can share the hope that you have and the value that you experience from God in your life and that you read that God has for every single person, including the person that you're talking to. You can be for life in the way that God is for life. I'm going to invite Laura to come up for the next couple of minutes talk about abortion, because I thought it's way more appropriate for her as a woman who's experienced pregnancy to speak about this than it is for me. So come on up, Laura, for the next couple of minutes.
Decisions around pregnancy are so complicated and very difficult, especially when you're talking about things like abortion. And any pregnancy, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, requires community support. It requires people around the person supporting them, being there with them the whole way. And like Jeff said, because of God's value on human life, we know that God really values the life of unborn children as well. And it's complicated when we look to the Bibles for answers about things like abortion. Because even though God is the God of the future and he knew our culture today, the people who he wrote to and the time he wrote it in weren't practicing abortion like it's practiced today. It's very different. And there are similarities, but we need to be really careful when we come to the Bible and we look to answers and are asking questions the Bible doesn't actually ask itself. But despite all these difficulties, we can look to what we know about the Bible. And we see, like Jeff's explained, God's value for life in this. In the Old Testament, God is saying in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, he's talking to Jeremiah, and he says to Jeremiah, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations." And then we come to the New Testament and we see Paul talking in Galatians chapter 1. And Paul says of God, "Before even I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles." God knew Jeremiah before he was born. God knew Paul before he was born. And God knew you before you were born. He knew you before you were conceived. And he is the God of eternity past and eternity future. And he has purpose for you even before you were thought of by anyone else, even before you were thought of by your parents. And God knows unborn babies, no matter what happens to them. Whether they're born healthy, whether they're born disabled in some way, whether they're born unwell or only live briefly, if they're born stillborn, whether they don't go past a certain age in the womb, God knows these babies and he loves them. He doesn't, even if they're aborted, they are in his sights. He knows and loves them. He sees the potential for him in them and through them. And the Bible doesn't say for sure, but it certainly leans towards the fact that, as we know, God is for life and that he accepts babies into heaven, babies that have passed away, however that has happened, for whatever reason. God gives them rich, eternal, full life with him in heaven, even those babies who have been aborted. When we've committed our lives to Jesus, when we submit our life, our rights, our will to him, we belong to him. We belong to Jesus. And our desire, like Jeff was saying, should be to please him, because God wants us to please him, because when we do that, we have life to the full. So for as long as you live, that's God's desire. And as complex and sensitive as this topic is of abortion, God is for life, including the life of unborn babies. And in all areas of our life as Christians, we submit our rights and our will to him, and we don't choose to end life. If you've chosen in the past to have an abortion, and I imagine there, if this is you this morning, there probably been many times where you think back over that situation, you struggle with a decision. Or maybe you've been affected by a family member who's chosen to go down that path of abortion. I want to pray for you this morning. If you feel shame, guilt, pressure, anguish, if you're haunted by the past, God offers forgiveness. He redeems you. He loves you. And he is caring for your baby in that rich, full life in heaven in eternity. And right now, here today, he is offering you hope. He is offering you healing and wholeness, because he is the God who redeems. So I want to pray for you now. Heavenly Father, we know that abortion is such an emotionally driven topic, and we just pray for anyone here who has possibly gone down that path in the past, or anyone here who has been affected by family members who have chosen abortion. We just pray for your love to wash over them, that they may not be haunted anymore, that they may receive your forgiveness and have hope and freshness in you, and that you will redeem that hurt and shame. And I pray just, Lord, that you will hug them this morning and fill them with your presence and assurance that you are there with them and that you offer forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And we know that abortions are still at such a high rate in our world, and even in Australia, the state and federal governments are constantly debating what should happen with abortions. And it's important to remember, though, as God's people, we shouldn't be defined for what we're against. We should be known for what we're for, and we are for life. And how we talk about that and how we represent God's values is really important in dealing with people. And like Jeff said earlier, we understand right and wrong, sin and forgiveness. And not having an abortion and carrying a baby full term doesn't get you into heaven any more than having an abortion gets you into hell. It's not the case at all. It's all about Jesus. It's about having an ongoing relationship with Jesus, and that's what counts. It's Jesus that saves us and gives us life, and a rich life and a full life. So we don't judge people who consider having an abortion. We don't judge someone who has had an abortion. Life has been stolen by the thief, the devil, physical life, and so much more for those who are involved and impacted by those decisions. Our world has fallen. Our sin, the thief, distort life. Our battle in this is not against people. It's against the enemy, the thief. And we need to have grace and compassion for each person in these situations, because we are proactive for life, a rich and satisfying life. And like Jeff said, as a Lakes Church, we love supporting each other. We love counselling. We love community. We love friendship. We love groups. And we love speaking about our value for life without judging and condemning others' decisions. We are for life. And as Christians, we need to figure out somehow how we can be for life of unborn children, unborn babies, and support a mother who doesn't necessarily know Jesus and is making decisions we don't agree with. Because there is hope, and we need to love that person as Jesus would love that person and show them hope in a hopeless situation that they might see. Because sometimes people can't see God's hope. We need to be the light in their lives. There's a place in Cairns called Chloe's Place, and this is a new local organisation, and you may have heard of it under the name of Cairns Pregnancy Help. They've recently started up, and they're moving to just around the corner from us on Anderson Street. And they're changing their name to Chloe's Place because Chloe represents the many, many women who have unexpected or unwanted pregnancies. And this organisation is started by Christian healthcare professionals. And Chloe's Place was designed to support women and couples with unexpected and unwanted pregnancies, because about half of all pregnancies in Australia are unexpected. So Chloe's Place will give the mother information, counselling and support, no matter the decisions they choose to go down, the paths they choose to go down. And this is such a great example of the church in the world, because these guys have beliefs and Christians that shape their own decisions. But they also have God's love, which enables them to show people who choose different decisions to what they would a different way, and to show and experience to show these people a different love, God's love. And we're going to link in the podcast to their website, so if you want to have a look at that. So be aware of Chloe's Place, pray for them, refer friends to them, encourage them, because they're doing great work here. And when we emailed them just to get some input into this message, Nat from Chloe's Place wrote to us and she said, "It is only through loving a woman, helping her to see her own value in God's eyes and her baby's value in God's eyes, kindling in her heart a greater vision for her life and helping her to recognise her strengths, intelligence, courage, kindness, the abilities to improve her situation in life and the abilities to be a good mother. It's only through doing these things, demonstrating God's love for the mother, that we can hope to empower her to demonstrate the same love to her unborn child." So church, let's be known for life, a rich, satisfying life that can only be found in Jesus.
Keep asking any questions that you have. Next week, we're going to talk about the topic, "What about Jesus?" The historical backgrounds and historical evidence, even outside the Bible. What do we know about Jesus? Did he even actually exist? But let's finish up today. In just a couple of minutes, I'm going to have the team upstairs play a song just for us to sit and listen and reflect. And then after that, the worship team is going to come up and lead us in singing a song. But the reason for the time of reflection first is as we've been talking through this stuff, I know there will be so many people here that this affects you within you right now. And if it doesn't affect you within you right now, it affects you because of family members or friends. And we want to give some space for God by his Spirit to minister to you this morning, because this is hopefully helpful information, hopefully helpful shaping of our thinking and our conversations. But what I would love so much more is for God to minister to you and to do some work in your heart around this stuff. And so I've asked our pastoral leaders and some others to be available for prayer for you this morning. So I want to invite them just to come and come and gather around the front now, if you could please, as I speak. At any point from now, through the song we reflect in, through the song that we sing, and after the service, come and approach one of them and ask them for prayer. Or just talk to a friend. Just to talk about it with someone or to ask for prayer can be such a powerful thing. And you know, the other thing I learned this week is that, you know, I remember always seeing on TV, like, you know, whenever they talk about a sensitive topic, Lifeline's number or Beyond Blue's number, you know, you can online live chat with them now. So if you thought ringing is just way too hard, to jump on the website on your phone or a computer or tablet, you can live chat and get, you know, real practical professional help. But let me pray before I pray. I can remember a church that Laura and I used to be part of on the Gold Coast. I remember one day they called for a response for anyone who'd like to come forward for prayer. And I remember this guy came down the front who was like a patriarch of the church. He had literally built more than one building of the church where they met over the 50-year history of the church, was related to most people in the church, and was a very well-respected, really great Christian guy. He came down the front. And do you know what some people said afterwards about that? They said, how embarrassing that someone of that standing would come down the front for prayer. It's not many times I feel like I could track people down and beat them up. But that is the exact opposite response I would ever want to encourage in a church. If you want to, or if you feel like God wants you to, that is the best thing ever. And you know, those people don't exist in our church. And if they do, I'll find them and I'll beat them up. Don't you ever think that if someone comes down the front. You see someone, you let them be, you pray for them. Don't worry about them. Don't think about them. It is awesome when someone responds to God and someone asks for prayer. So that's what the space is here this morning. Let me pray for us. We're going to listen. And then after that, the band's going to come. And then Chris will close the service. But any time from now, if you'd like to talk or you'd like prayer on any of this stuff, come and do that along the front row here. Let's pray. God, sometimes it's easier for us to imagine that you value the life of an unborn baby. But it's hard for us to imagine that you value our life too. It's hard for us to imagine that you look down at us and you see through the guilt and you see through the shame and you see through the fear and you love us. And you forgive us because of Jesus. So Lord, this morning, for anyone who's in that place of just great shame and great torment, would they hear your voice louder this morning? And for anyone, Lord, who's just struggling to make it through the end of today, maybe there's been many, many plans already for things to finish, that they would hear your voice and feel your love louder today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh God, I bring to you the doubt in my head. Stuff I don't get. Oh God, I bring to you the things that I said. Oh God, I bring to you my disconnect. Stay.